This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. Mike has been talking about these undrafted free agents. Some of the names we'll give you coming up at 5 o'clock. And again, don't laugh. Some of these guys are going to ultimately make the team, Mike, and they may pop and may ultimately be on a practice team for us. So we always look at this list. This is the thing that happens, by the way, after the draft. So draft finishes, and you think, like, everybody slaps hands, and then they go home. This is what they're doing. These are guys that they've evaluated, Mike, that they, hey, we know we're not going to draft them, but we'd like to have these guys in our camp.
And it is interesting because I find it interesting because when I do these stupid mock drafts, you're always mocking me on.
Yes.
You know, as we said, there was never a mock draft where Jalen Walker fell to us. You're like, no way. But Kobe Bryant, with a C, was a guy that I mocked a number of times. So be looking forward to meeting this Kobe Bryant and see what he's all about from Kansas. Could be an impact player. We'll talk more about it coming up.
Let's talk some dogs. Connor Riley, got to tell you. Connor Riley, that Jalen Walker, man, he is impressive. He came in on Friday, Connor, and we were like, okay, we see exactly what he was at Georgia and why Kirby would rant and rave about this young man. Let's start there and tell us your thoughts when the Falcons selected him.
Yeah, I heard Mike talking about how you didn't envision Jalen falling to that point, and you're sitting around, you're watching the draft and texting some buddies, and Jalen gets past Carolina at 8, and I'm like, oh, you know, they might have a chance. And we were all thinking, you know, is this year the Falcons are finally going to take a Georgia player? And then Michael goes at 11, and you start looking at the board and thinking, okay, you know, Indianapolis is going to take a tight end. Miami doesn't really need an edge rusher. They have other needs. Like, Jalen's going to be there. Is this the year the Falcons finally take one? And they do. And I've long been a Jalen Walker fan. I think this guy, as great as he is as a player, what he brings to that locker room and what he's going to do to that franchise, I think is going to help them so much in terms of just the leadership and going about doing things the right way in terms of being a truly a winning player. And so to get that with the number 15 overall pick, to get a guy that is going to change the culture on that Falcons defense, which, like, let's be honest here, hasn't been great for a long time. And I know there are questions about what he might do positionally. I know the addition of James Pierce. I know some people are wondering, okay, you add in another edge rusher. Doesn't that kind of eat into what Jalen Walker does? I actually think it frees up Jalen to do everything that he does, not just be an edge rusher, but develop continuously as an off-ball linebacker and continue to be on the field every single play. And so I think to get a guy like him at 15 is a huge win for the Falcons, who obviously are going all in this year. But I think Jalen Walker is a guy that can help them get over that hump and get back into the playoffs for the first time since 2017.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Mykal Williams and assuming that he would be there. And it'd be really interesting if Mykal had been there, knowing now we think the general manager kind of had tunnel vision on James Pierce Jr. More on that coming up. But what about the 49ers, one of the best organizations historically in the league, and pairing him to an aging defensive line to regenerate it with Mykal going to the 49ers?
It's a great spot for Mykal to land to because, and yes, you're absolutely right, Mike. They have some questions on that defensive line and defensive front as a whole. But you get to play with Nick Bosa and you get to play with Fred Warner. And that's going to free up Mykal to be in a one-on-one situation. And I think he is talented enough to do that. And I know there are a lot of questions. There's a lot of talk about what Mykal's ceiling is. I think he has a really high floor, and his ability to impact the game as a run defender, I think, is going to help out a lot. I think also he's going to be put in a position to succeed, whereas at Georgia, they didn't always ask him to be that traditional 4-3 defensive end, hey, just pin yours back, go get the quarterback. They very rarely asked him to do that. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy. That's something he wasn't his last year at Georgia, but you put him out there. Robert Saleh is the defensive coordinator opposite Nick Bosa. I think that's a great spot for Mikel to go into, where he's got the floor to help them in year one while also having a ceiling to continue to be potentially a cornerstone piece for the San Francisco 49ers.
Look, I hate to say it, but Malachi Starks went to the perfect spot. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, my goodness. These damn Ravens are going to just continue to be good. They already have an all-pro safety, and now you just drafted Malachi? It's like, again, some teams just, it feels like they get it right all the time, and that's how I felt when Malachi got drafted.
Yeah, similar to Mikel, he gets to go play opposite an all-pro. They've got an all-pro linebacker in Roquan Smith. They've got Kyle Hamilton back there. And, you know, my buddy and I, who covers the Titans, we have a running bit every year. It's just like, we can't believe it. The Ravens took another good player, and that's exactly what Malachi does. And, you know, look, he played a little out of position for Georgia this past year. I don't think he's going to be asked to do the same things he did with the Ravens that he was at Georgia this year. And I think if you go back and look at his 2023 tape, when he was able to play more of that true deep safety role, I think that's going to open up so many things for him. And you can mix and match what you want to do with Starks and Hamilton. So above all, and look, the Ravens, they're close to a Super Bowl. They want to get over that hump. I think Malachi Starks, someone who won a championship in his first year at Georgia as a starter, I think he brings that championship pedigree to Baltimore.
Talking with Connor Riley, guys, about the Dogs going to the NFL. Is the number yesterday, I think it was Friday, we were doing the show up at Flowery Branch, and Kirby's had more players go in the first round than he's got losses at Georgia, which is just mind-blowing. Wow. Tate Ratledge goes in the second, and do you think that's a good spot for him?
He culturally fits everything that Dan Campbell seems to be about. Toughness, physicality, doing things the right way. I think Detroit is going to absolutely love him. They were banged up on the offensive line late last year, and that led to some issues that they had to finish out the year. I think culturally, because we even got a chance to talk to Tate at Georgia's, and the guy he was most excited to meet in terms of talking to people and going around was Dan Campbell. So I think it's really cool for Tate that he gets to land in that spot. He, similarly to Malachi and even I think Mikel, lands in a spot where they're competing for championships, and they need someone to just help understand right away that, like, what we're doing and what we're trying to do here, you're not going to be able to come along slowly. You're going to have to hit the ground running. I think Tate, his experience at Georgia, is going to help him making that transition to a Detroit franchise that didn't just take one Georgia player, but they took three of them with Dan Jackson and Dominic Glover both coming off the board in the seventh round. So Brad Holmes, the GM of the Lions, clearly sees what Kirby Smart is trying to do and thinks that can help them at the next level.
The best center in this draft goes to the Patriots. Listen, I thought Vrabel and company had a great plan. They had a bunch of picks, but he wanted to build up the defense and offensive lines, and they did that, and they get Jared Wilson.
Yeah, and Jared's a guy who, you know, if you read the mock drafts and you follow that, ended up going later than I think most of us anticipated. Some thought he could be a second-round pick, but I think it's one of those things. As the draft started to drag on, you start to realize, wait a minute, a guy like this having 12 career starts actually, you know, seems to be pretty much a negative rather than obviously the upside and everything that comes with, you know, him as a player moving forward. He's someone who clearly has a lot of potential, and I'm interested going to New England, a team that badly needs offensive linemen, not just at center, but as guard as well. How quickly is he able to get onto the field? Because obviously, you know, when you're drafting in the third round, especially on traits that Jared Wilson has, again, he's the fastest offensive lineman at this year's combine. You think he might be a developmental player, but I actually think Jared's a guy that needs to get on the field and play and get those reps because he didn't get a lot of them in college with the 12 career starts that he had. But, you know, it is a pick that I think for the Patriots has a real home run potential where you can get a high-quality center at the very end of the third round.
I know I bellyached about the job Stacey Searles is doing, but all these guys are getting paid. You know, everybody was from the line. It was going. And by the way, David Andrews, of course, was banged up last year, but you basically go from dog to dog if he wins the starting job for the Patriots. Meanwhile, other dudes, Arian Smith goes in the fourth round to the Jets, and I thought it was a star-crossed run for Trevor Etienne. We had such high hopes for him at UGA, just never expected to be what it was. He winds up in Carolina.
Yeah, and to your point there, Mike, talking about Arian, talking about Trevor, the offensive line, they have three go in the first three rounds last year. or this year. Only Ohio State had more players taken in this year's draft, 14, than Georgia's 13. It's a, I believe, like top six draft haul ever in terms of players selected. But Georgia didn't always look like that on the field this past season. And I think it speaks to, it was not an individual talent issue with Georgia in 2024, but there was something deeper that this team just didn't come together. It didn't click. I think on the offensive line, injuries played a part in that. But for whatever reason, in a way that it obviously has for Georgia in years past, you know, a lot of these guys that are going on in the NFL won two national titles in their time at Georgia. For whatever reason, despite all that talent that they had, it just never seemed to come together. And especially at the end of the year, you think back to that Notre Dame game, you know, it just, Georgia didn't look like the better team that day, even though the NFL draft tells us they were the more talented team when they took the field in New Orleans. And so I'm interested in seeing how moving forward, Georgia recognizes this and goes about correcting it and trying to create a closer, tighter knit team that is able to execute in a way that this 2024 team just didn't do so.
Connor Riley joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, recapping the draft, 13 dogs selected in the 2025 draft. Overall, 79 players taken in the SEC. That's 14 more than the previous record, which was 21-22 when they had 65 taken. What's that say? That it's the dominant conference, despite Ohio State winning the national championship. I mean, every year, what are we talking about now? 60-plus players, maybe 70-plus going in the NFL draft?
Yeah, Carl, it speaks to just where this league is from a depth standpoint. And the easy, you know, you do the quick math. Oklahoma, I think, has four or five players taken. Texas has 12. That's how you reset the record. But I think you just look at what this conference has, you know, Ole Miss having seven, Florida having seven. Even those teams that finish at the middle of the standings are still producing NFL-level talent. And so that's sort of the wear and tear that you're having to deal with and adjust with on a week-in, week-out basis. Whereas the Ohio States of the world, when you're getting to play a Northwestern, a Nebraska, an Indiana, although Indiana was obviously great this year, when you're playing those teams, it's just not the same level of wear and tear. And so I think with Georgia, you saw them wore down over the course of the season, in part just because you're having to go play a Florida, an Ole Miss, a Texas, a Tennessee, and all those games and all those hits against elite teams where you're having to grind it out, I think wears on you a little bit. So I think that's maybe why you see an Ohio State, you see a Notre Dame, a Penn State in the Final Four this year, and even a Texas team that I think if you look at their schedule compared to most SEC teams, just frankly played a weaker SEC schedule. I think that helps explain why you saw the Final Four in which you did, despite all the talent in the SEC.
And the guy that kept Georgia out of the Final Four a year ago in 2023, Jalen Milroe, he goes in the third round. I think it was 92nd to Seattle. They got Sam Darnold, but you give him a shot of becoming a starter in the NFL? I thought he should have stayed in school, if not in Alabama, somewhere else to get better throwing it.
Hey, I'll tell you this, Mike. If he plays like he did against Georgia a lot in the NFL, he's going to be a very, very successful player. Obviously couldn't replicate that, especially over the course of the 2024 season. But I think with where he went in the third round, end of the third round, it's not a huge risk pick involved. It's not, you know, taking a guy in the first round. If he's able to do everything, and like he's been through a program in Alabama where he's dealt with a lot of things, working his way onto the field, you know, dealing with the coaching change between Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer. Like, he's not going to see anything that hasn't been thrown at him. Obviously, he needs to continue to improve as a passer, but he's got, as any Georgia fan knows, like, when he is right, he is as good as any quarterback in the country. And so I'm interested in seeing how he continues to develop. Obviously, going to Seattle in the third round, there are naturally Russell Wilson comparisons that are going to be thrown out there. Russell Wilson was a much more developed prospect than Milroe is, but Milroe, in my opinion, even going in the third round, and I would include Cam Ward in this, has as high a ceiling as any quarterback in this year's draft.
What about Trevor Etienne? We're going to see him in our division. I don't know how much we'll see him because Chuba Hubbard is the guy there as far as the running back situation, but you can never have enough. Do you think that's a good situation for him?
I think it works for him because, weirdly, even though, you know, he's not going to be their number one running back, I think Trevor's just not built to be an every down back. I think we saw that this past year at Georgia where you get to the Florida game, you get to that stretch run, and he suffers a rib injury and is out for pretty much the whole month of November. And that really impacted Georgia and what they were able to do down the stretch. So I think that's a reason why Trevor, despite having obvious talent, didn't go as high as some had forecasted. I still think seeing him go in the fourth round and where he did, you can feel comfortable saying, okay, he made an understandable decision going out in this year's NFL draft class. Plus, once I think you got past that top tier of running back, obviously Ashton Gentry in a class of his own, but then that second tier of Amarian Hampton, Travion Henderson, and Quinshon Judkins, a lot of the other talented running backs, and it was a very deep running back class, had to wait a little bit. But I think for Trevor, he's a guy that obviously can impact the game, and I think the fact that he's not going to be asked to be a number one running back when he goes to Carolina, I think is going to help his long-term future quite a bit.
Guys that beat Georgia, you know, again, Jackson Dart, we got to catch a break here, but just real quick, Jackson Dart, good fit? I mean, he's going to have to wait his turn.
I'm interested with him because that offense that Ole Miss runs is so different, and he's playing behind Russell Wilson, he's playing behind Jameis Winston. He looked like a gamer more than anything when I saw him play against Georgia this past year, and he didn't look very good at all when they came to Athens in 2023. Mm-hmm. And there's a toughness factor, I think, that you like, but with everything that goes into being a quarterback and especially being a first-round pick, I don't know if he has the upside, the ceiling that you want out of your starting quarterback. So I'm going to be curious to see how it all turns out for Jackson Dart in a pressurized situation like New York.
You see what Brad Holmes said about Georgia players? Brad Holmes is the general manager for the Detroit Lions, and he just basically said, in short, you can go hear the entire soundbite, but he said, when you go through that kind of regime and you practice like they do, you know that they're ready when asked about the Georgia players. And he picked what? The Lions, I think, picked two dogs in this particular draft. But I thought that was interesting. That's Howie Roseman said it last year or 2 years ago about Georgia, and now you've got another general manager saying it about Georgia. And we're talking about practice habits, right? We're talking about how they practice much more than how they play. I just thought it was interesting, Connor.
Kirby should just send that clip out to every recruit that Georgia is after right now, because that is the best billboard, advertisement, whatever you want, for this Georgia program to continue to get great players and continue to get great talents, because that's the proof of, hey, they're going to turn you into an NFL player. Yes, you obviously have athletic gifts. There's a reason that you're at a place like Georgia, but Georgia's going to do the nitty-gritty, the hard things that are going to help get you prepared for the next level. And sure, you'd love to see more guys taken at the top of the draft, but I think when you take a guy like a Dan Jackson, when you take a guy like a Dom Lovett in the seventh round like Detroit did, that speaks to, hey, look, we know these are dart throws, but we understand what they went through at Georgia, and that's going to help them so much more than the average seventh-round pick.
Great stuff. Connor Riley, tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter, at K Connor Riley. We've got a ton of stuff coming still. Big-time recruiting coming up, a couple big battles, so plenty of stuff coming now that will pass the NFL draft.
All right, brother, appreciate you. As always, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back more on the draft, guys, because it is where we are. Our team got better this weekend. You believe it? We'll discuss next. Mike, we were talking about some of these undrafted free agents, and you were talking about Kobe Bryant with the C. And his
a 6 foot, 180-pound corner. DB.
His post, and you got to love it, man, but look, he's got the highlights to prove it. I know most of you don't watch Kansas football, but the fact is he was like, there's not 26 corners better than me in this draft. And the Falcons bring him in. And sometimes, to your point, you just don't know what you're getting.
Right.
And but I love the fact that he put this out there and was just like, okay, I'll go prove it. No problem. You know, he thought he was going to get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
But to Mike's point, size. And he's a long guy who makes plays. He's got, you know, one-hand interceptions. He's knocking guys, you know, to the ground. He's an aggressive tackler. But we'll see. I mean, again, these are not guys you're going to be focused on because you're not going to see them a whole lot. But behind the scenes, Mike, these are the kind of guys that might eventually pop, and you never know if they make the squad or not.
All Big 12, 13 picks in his career, and he's Kobe Bryant. You know, so. Now, granted, naming your child after celebrity is never a guarantee he'll be successful. There's a lot of Jesus's out there, Carl.
This is
but
true.
We'll see how he can do. But that's one of the guys that I'm looking forward to because it's just kind of funny because as we joke around and say, well, you're too close to it, it's just one of those guys that I happen to, every time I did a mock draft, that dude's name came up and he was always there where we were picking and looking around. So it will be interesting.
Where did you take him in the mocks?
He was always in the fourth or fifth round.
Okay.
You know, and in some cases. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't have a fifth rounder, you know, obviously. So that was, you know. Hard to do unless you're going to move back in. But we've got some dudes. It'll be very interesting to see who makes the impact. Nick Nash is the wide receiver who led the league. I mean, all of college football, not just out there in the what was it, the WAC, or is the Mountain West, whatever San Jose State is in. But anyway, he led in receptions, touchdowns, receiving yards, Mountain West, yeah. The big M-dub. But anyway, this is a guy, we were joking around off the air about, you know, it's funny. Everybody wants the plucky white wide receiver if they're good. You know, I mean, I don't want just, you know, one for the sake of having one as a mascot. But I mean, you know, you want to have that, you know, Wes Welker or the M-dub. Yes, it's always the Patriots. But I mean, there's guys, I mean, Hunter Renfro's trying for a comeback with Carolina, apparently. But, you know, I don't care what call you are, but as long as you can get open, he's not a speed burner, but he's one of those dudes who just has the knack for getting open. That's, I mean, in any league, in any level of play, those numbers are impressive.
Those are a couple of guys. There are more. I like the Carter kid out of Michigan State, the running back. I mean, like, again, we have those guys, but you just don't know, Michael. You can, again, I don't feel like you can ever have enough. Corners, running backs, there's just certain positions. Even though, you know, I think Terry Fontenot told us, you know, that he recently saw who was it? He said he was all yoked up, that he came into the facility and he was like, oh, I just ran into him. Not Bijan. He ran into our other back, Mike.
Oh, Tyre Allgeier.
Yeah, he said he was all yoked up and he was like, man, he's been working out. And that's great, but I like that kid too. Carter was really good for Michigan State, but there's a bunch of guys.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's Jordan Williams. I want to say he was third team All ACC.
Yep.
But a guy that had some experience, you know, playing for a very, again, one of the best running teams in the country in Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
So that's going to hopefully translate. But again, seventh rounders, you know, there's always, you know, the odds are never great, or if you're undrafted free agent, but there's been a bunch of guys that made it to the Hall of Fame. I always come back to our guy, Jesse Tuggle, probably being our most famous undrafted free agent for coming through the Falcons. But, yeah, a bunch of dudes and some guys that have some experience at some big programs, too, by the way, from Miami and Michigan State. We got an interior lineman. So it's, again, just a matter of trying to see who can compete. And sometimes these guys do flash. I hope we're talking about these guys when we're at Hooters at Mall of Georgia and our coverage. And I think this year, with all the work being done, you'll be able to watch the Falcons up there at Flowery Branch again, fans.
No doubt. It should be back to normal, which will be great for the fan base. It's Dukes and Bell, guys.
Simeon Barrow, that's the guy. I couldn't think of that. That's the guy who was a transfer from Michigan State to Miami. Defensive tackle.
They picked him up as well. Undrafted free agent. We've been talking a lot about our thoughts on the overall draft class. Trying to focus on our Falcons. I mean, listen, if you want to ask us about another team, we're more than welcome to get into that. But there were a lot of names called. And when you start talking about who won and who didn't, just don't do that. It's ridiculous for me to tell you that at this point when none of these guys have played a snap and haven't won anything or, for that matter, had any impact on these teams. But if you're talking about need, and Mike, by the way, can we stop saying take best athlete? Because I've been saying this.
Right.
Need, need, need. It's exactly what we needed. We needed defense. They went and got it, and they drafted exactly what I want. Mike, first, second, all three picks, defense, defense. And then they went and said, all right, you know what, we're going to get another defensive guy.
Right, and Billy Bowman, as we said, is more of that hybrid Richie Grant was supposed to be at a UCF, a guy that can compete in the nickel, the dime package, obviously all your passing downs, a safety who's got ball hawking skills. Xavier Watts is a ball hawk with 13 career picks, the last 2 years, I should say, for Notre Dame, which is great. So you got some exciting pieces. And again, a seventh rounder, it's a coin toss, but it's a big lineman from Wisconsin. The big thing about this draft, as we said to start the show, and we said this on Friday, it really is a matter of, does James Pierce Jr. have that impact? Because with all due respect to Arnold Ebiketie, we want to see these guys hit the ground running. I know what I've got with Jalen Walker. He's going to start as an edge rush guy. But you know, sometimes you just know, right? You see it, and we've seen other rookies. See, that's my thing. Why do other rookies for other teams have immediate impact on defense? But for us, it's always, you know, so few and far between. Well, hopefully that changes now.
Roll. I mean, honestly, this comes down. This is why it was important for Jeff to say, Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, what are we going to do with him to start? I didn't want to hear him. I was going to be very disappointed, Mike, if I heard him say, well, you know, it's going to be all over the field. Wrong answer. What is he doing? And can he master that? Thank you. And get us the pressures we need. Like, let's let him do what he does best. Let's not try to, you know, reinvent the wheel here. And so when he said, hey, look, he's going to be an edge guy, and that's where I'm starting him. I don't give a crap about all this size stuff. And he brought up a great example, and it's a guy that I know that I hadn't even thought about in many years. He was talking about Michael Huff, who also is out of University of Texas, 6'1", maybe, played 10 years in the league, Mike. But when he came out, it was like, oh, he's a little smallish. I don't know. And he was a very productive guy. Now, I actually think Jalen has the potential to be way better, to be honest with you. But the point is, if you start talking about comparables and guys like, oh, the size, and Jeff said, look, I don't care about that. Brick was like, that he's going to do this and play. This is what he's done his entire career. But that's what I needed to hear. So now we know this is what he's going to do. The other stuff was extra,
right?
Okay? Edge, great. Let's go.
As we said, guys that went ahead of him, we talked about him just basically, and it was funny. I love, as we said earlier, one of our favorite interviews of recent memory, talking to Jalen Walker on Friday up at Flowery Branch, talking about Kelvin Banks going from Texas a couple spots ahead of him, 9 overall. And that's a guy that he just beat. I mean, he just whipped like all of the Georgia Bulldogs in against Texas. Two times they played.
It is what it is, bro.
But yeah, but Pierce, we talk about impact. And guys, go back and look. I'm looking right now. Jared Verse last year, rookie of the year defensively. Will Anderson for the Texans. Now, granted, these are high picks, but Jared Verse was a guy that we knew and we said that guy's going to be something. Sauce Gardner for the Jets. Micah Parsons in 21.
But they didn't ask. This is what I'm saying. They didn't ask those guys to come in and do something different than what they
do
were
what
great.
You
at.
Do exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Jared Verse went to the Rams and they said, "Do what you did."
Nick Bosa, 19. Marshawn Lattimore, kind of tailed off a little bit for the Saints, but he was solid out of the gate.
See, Mike, and real quick,
Aaron Donald. These are all guys that came in. You knew immediately. These guys are rock stars.
But this is why I don't like this hybrid crap.
Correct.
That's my issue. Like, what are we running? How do we need to approach this? And let's go. Like, that's what right. I think that's what Jeff right. Olbrich is attempting to do.
And if Jalen Walker is 6'3", automatically he's an edge. But because he's 6'1", he can't. That's ridiculous.
Right. Right. Yeah.
We've talked about that. I said it. Lawrence Taylor was 6'3". He wasn't 6'6". You know what I mean? These guys are just, you're a baller.
Yeah, that's all that matters. All right, man, we got more to dive into. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man, I didn't even know this thing was a thing until it's Sunday morning. Of course, I'm sleeping in because that's what I do. And I get a text from my cousin. He goes, "You seen this Belichick interview?" I go, what Belichick interview? So I went back and I watched it. We got some audio, the most uncomfortable audio from the interview. Belichick goes on CBS Sunday morning show. And guess who was tagging along?
Oh, let me guess. Yes. The young girlfriend.
Yes, indeedy do. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in, and an Atlanta band has finally made it, as well they should. And also, the most interesting thing that's ever happened in a UFL game is on the way. Where to play is play. Hope you had an awesome weekend. And man, Carl and I were just joking around off the air. We always, if there's a cool TV show, we generally give, 48 to 72 hours. And by now, I guess it's safe to say you have seen what happened in The Last of Us. Oh, you still didn't see what happened to last weekend?
I told you.
I still can't talk about it.
No.
We can talk.
You're talking about last night's or this weekend's?
No. What happened last week?
Oh, yeah. Last weekend was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Sunday.
Yeah,
night.
This was interesting. Not bad. I'm not going to give it away until you've seen it. But, yeah, it's HBO. And not everybody has HBO. I get that. But you can find it. I was telling Carl today, The Righteous Gemstones. Now, I like Danny McBride. I don't like everything. I think sometimes it can be even just too silly and just dopey. But the story of basically a family of TV preachers on HBO, for those that aren't familiar with it. But Walton Goggins plays, and it's hard to explain if you hadn't seen the show, Uncle Baby Billy, who is a consummate hustler. And again, he's producing this TV show for their Christian broadcast, their own version of a TV network.
Teenjus.
Called Teenjus, Carl.
Teen Jesus.
The story of it. Now, why don't you call it Teen Jesus? No, it's Teenjus. Anyway. It is.
The kid actor playing Teenjus. So he decides to cast himself as an old ass man playing Teenjus instead.
So they did a number. And again, I know if you don't have the show, that I'll just move it along. But it just, Ordin, I've been laughing all day at the song called Turn the Other Cheek, basically, where basically Jesus is preaching and it turns into a dance routine. It's just, it's Teenjus. Anyway, it's pretty funny. Now, also kind of funny for a different sort of way. Was Bill Belichick on CBS Sunday morning with his lovely girlfriend, which, again, God bless him for having a girl that's 48 years his younger, his junior, I should say. But Bill Belichick doing the interview, and we'll take a listen as this happens on CBS Live as they talk about how they met. On the computer, in just a second. Basically, it's doing a sit-down, and I can tell you while Oren cues up the audio, Bill Belichick, you think you're doing a TV interview with CBS? Maybe you put on a polo shirt? A sweater?
Suit.
Something that doesn't have a hole in it?
Suit.
He continues to wear shirts that look like they were eaten by moths. So if you hadn't seen this...
Was it a North Carolina shirt?
No, it's Navy, because his dad, of course, was coach at Navy in the U.S. Naval Academy. But Belichick sitting in this, I presume at the home or somewhere in North Carolina, and he's wearing one of his typical shirts that's got holes all over it. I mean, a lot of guys are looking at this and saying we dodged a bullet. So I got to be honest, Bill Belichick is kind of going around the crazy bend. I don't know what you think is going to happen at North Carolina. By the way, what is your expectation for him at Carolina?
I don't have any. I think he's going to win, you know, 5-6 games, maybe. But, Mike, again, let's not discount how good the ACC can be. Like, it's not going to, you know, it's not a cakewalk every week. And so I don't even know what this class or his recruits as far as the portal looks like. We haven't done a deep dive yet, but I have no expectations. He's not winning the national championship.
Sorry, the computer froze up. We got the audio. So here's Belichick in the middle of the interview, and take a listen.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
All right. I mean, this is so... Either Belichick is the most whipped human being in North America. It's got shades of Yoko Ono. We're not talking about this. Meanwhile, Day-Day and I were talking before the show... The story, the origin story of how Belichick met Jordan Hudson, it's already out there.
Yeah.
They met on an airplane flight.
What's the big deal, Mike?
They met. She was doing some work. They said they started talking about philosophy. She's taking a philosophy course.
Yeah.
And it's already out there. Yeah, but she shuts it down in the middle of the interview.
Yeah, they were sitting next to each other on a flight.
Okay.
She was doing her work, and he ended up helping her out with her work.
I'm sure he did.
And then, I'm not sure why they're so secretive.
Well, that's my point. Like, what is the big deal? How did you guys meet? What's the big deal? Like, I don't understand
but
that.
What are you hiding,
right, Mike?
The thing is, it's one thing if this was a mystery. The story has been out there as long as they've been dating.
Mm.
I mean, you can look it up. How did they meet?
We're not talking about that.
So, yeah, and remember, he's got this guy, it's so front and center. She's what, COO of the North Carolina football operation.
No.
And then Belichick in one of his raggedy shirts.
What can I talk about?
Looking like he's in a hostage video as she basically dictates what is above board and not for the CBS interview.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
I love that.
Now look, I know last year was a huge disappointment for all Falcon fans, and I know that maybe not.
Oh, you're talking about the season?
Yeah, the season.
Oh, the season was. Yes,
but
I thought you were.
I gotta be honest, we may have dodged a serious bullet here, guys. Belichick has lost his damn mind. I mean, I know.
Oh, I know what he's lost his mind over.
Well, P is undefeated.
We're not talking about this.
He looks like he's starting to be more controlled a little bit more and more.
Yes.
All of this, in all honesty.
Like Anna Nicole Smith controlling that billionaire when he was like 105 on death's door. That's what this looks like now.
That was easy, though.
This would you would think would be a little bit more complicated.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
That's great.
I mean, great. Like I said, if you hadn't seen the video, and just it's just like I said, it looks like he's in a damn hostage video.
Mike,
do I speak now?
So
do I speak now?
What did they talk about? Did they talk about anything?
Nothing. It was very unsubstantive, just about his transition to college, being disappointed not making it.
Let me guess what he said.
I like it.
And yes, he kept moving.
Right.
I mean, like, seriously, what did they talk about? You would think this would be a super compelling interview to talk with one of the most brilliant coaches in the history of the NFL.
Right.
Boring.
With his girlfriend.
We're not talking about this.
With his girlfriend, literally, just outside of camera shot. I mean, it's like.
Literally, just out of frame.
Take any historical figure, anybody, like a washed-up celebrity when you have the controlling wife. I mean, it's unbelievable.
What was she wearing? Did she have
got leggings on and a pullover.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. I mean, it's
I didn't know if she
on her phone.
Tasteful.
She's on her phone? Okay.
Hey, man, you watching the UFL?
No, based
on the ratings, neither is anyone else.
No.
The most interesting thing that happened to the UFL, Michigan Panthers' Samson Nacua, brother of Puka Nacua of the Rams, smacks a Battlehawks fan at the end of the game on Saturday.
Slapped him?
There's a video, and I've got it up at Mike Bell ATL. I say the first interesting thing I've seen. So there's a fan, obviously, who takes their UFL very seriously, and they're arguing. And the fan is just talking trash, and he's leaning over the front row behind the bench, and basically Nacua just reaches up, pow, and smacks him right in the face. And another Michigan Panther fan starts laughing. First he does like this, the fake, like, I'm coming at you, and he reaches up and pow, just smacks him.
It's
So if I'm the UFL, there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's the first, time I've ever mentioned them in guy talk.
I was going to say, yeah. No, I've not watched one single second.
I love this. Some guy named Thomas Welch, the UFL can't let this go unpunished. Really?
Who cares?
Who cares? It's the UFL.
Who cares? Like, yeah, really.
I mean, please, guys.
I didn't even know Puka's brother was playing in the UFL.
I didn't know he had a brother. I didn't know his name was Sansom. I didn't know he was in the UFL. I didn't know he played for the Michigan Panthers. Now you know. Hey, man, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame gets announced. And again, I know that for a lot of purists, you could say hip-hop and R&B is not rock and roll. Well, they should call it the Music Hall of Fame. I know that's semantics. It is what it is. It's evolved, and influencers have made it for all different types of genres. I think we all accept that. A group that we've been big fans of and want to see them reunite, Outkast, goes into the 2025 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class.
No, it's huge. And it's just, you know, the propers that they deserve when you talk about one of the all-time great duos in any form of music. But Big O, I know, you know, when you sent this last night, I was like, man, this is huge. And now everybody's asking, reunion. Okay, here we go again.
Well, they bring the groups on stage to perform at the Hall of Fame ceremony, correct?
They do.
So this very well could be the last time we ever see Big Boi and Andre perform together as a group as Outkast.
Now, again, we've had, you know, opportunities, and with all due respect to Andre, I mean, the flute thing is working out for more, but I don't want to really go see that. But other folks getting in, Bad
Grammy
Company.
Nominated.
What if he brings that flute on stage to the Hall of Fame?
All right, real quick, cue up some of that. Give me some of that Andre 3000 flute for guys who missed it.
Grammy nominee.
Other now, here's the one thing. It's kind of like the College Football Hall of Fame. And by the way, for those listening, it's not an indictment of what the guys do here in Atlanta. They do an amazing job. I'll give you the mellow sounds of Andre in the background as I talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's really no rhyme or reason. You would have thought Chubby Checker was already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
He isn't. He is now. Joe Cocker, famous for covering other people's songs, but doing it unbelievable, powerful versions of it. He's now in. Bad Company, one of my favorite rock bands, all killer, no filler for the 70s. Cyndi Lauper is in. Soundgarden, one of my favorite bands of all time.
I would have thought they would have been in. Okay.
And unfortunately, Soundgarden doesn't have Chris Cornell because he took his own life.
Yeah.
Jack White and the White Stripes, who basically reinvented garage rock, an entire genre. So that's the thing. The bands that are just so influential. See, you're going to sit in a concert venue and watch and listen to this?
People already did.
He came down.
And he sold out.
Yeah, but how much mushrooms do you have to do for this to be entertaining?
I mean, it's Andre 3000, so people are just going to go support just
and
because.
And I just think maybe at some point, maybe he'll forget he's playing the flute and just drop like 16 bars real quick.
Yeah, that's true. He's probably not going to.
I mean, but it's very soothing. Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, I might drive, but anytime I'm stuck in traffic on the connector, I might just use some of this. Bands who didn't make the cut, unfortunately, the Black Crowes.
Okay.
Robinson Boys, not yet, although they made some unbelievable rock and roll. Had four amazing records. Billy Idol, Fish didn't make it, all first-time nominees.
Billy Idol didn't make it?
Nope. But again, he's also, it's not just Billy Idol. He was in Generation X, which
that's
is a
weird.
Very influential, probably the smoothest of the punk bands, most polished English punk bands that came out. Mariah Carey and Oasis nominated for the first time. Very influential band. I'm a huge New Order fan. Their earlier Joy Division, New Order, nominated once before, did not make the cut. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me because they influence dozens of bands, and it's everything from new wave to rock and roll. Anyway, that's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Moving on. Hey, man, did you hear what happened Saturday in the Braves game?
No. What happened?
A guy named Eugenio Suarez hit four home runs.
Oh, I did see that.
Three off of Grant Holmes. Yes, Grant got the reverse sombrero. Yeah. And then just for good measure, Raisel Iglesias thought he'd get it on the action. 19 guys have hit four home runs in a game. Only four players have been on the losing end while hitting four dongs, Carl. Four round trippers.
Dingers. Yeah. Long balls. Yeah, because we won that game Saturday night, but that was crazy.
8-7.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, I've seen three live. I've never seen four in a game, and that's the reason why. How many guys did you just say?
19 have done it in history. Yeah, no one's ever gotten to five.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't get five in a row either because obviously he got out in the game on Sunday. We mentioned this earlier. We're not really talking a lot of NBA since we don't really have anything to talk about with the Hawks at home. But some sad news for Dame Lillard and the Bucks. Man, can we get Giannis down here? Giannis, time to change your attitude and your zip code. But, man, Giannis.
They're done. Now, look, the Bucks are old.
Dame Lillard is done with an Achilles injury.
Yeah, man. And just looking towards the future, like, this is going to become a story. And, look, say what you want. I would love to pair. Like, give up
could you
whatever.
Imagine?
Give up whatever.
Jalen Johnson, whatever. You got to go.
Would I give it up?
No, I'm saying, do you think we could do it?
Yes. Now, here's the deal. I don't think you're going to have to give, the entire team away. Mm-hmm. But you are going to, whoever just said Jalen Johnson, I don't know which one of you guys said that, that's probably going to be the piece because you're obviously giving up a young, you know, up and coming star. But look, if Trey ever wants to win a world championship here, that's what you got to do, man. You've got to make that kind of move.
Day Day and I have talked about this off the air. Day Day is our producer, guys. But yeah, I just, Giannis, it's you know, it's almost like sometimes you got to change. You got to get the heck out because it seems like it's run its course. As we said, ever since they won that title, Doc couldn't do anything for him. Budenholzer's, of course, getting fired everywhere he goes.
That was a terrible hire, by the way. Doc Rivers, they should have never hired him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love Doc's personality, but if you take away the ready-made for championship big three in Boston, it's been a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of, you know, losing his voice, but nothing really to show for it. Hey, man, shout out, before I got time for one more, shout out to everybody who came out to Perimeter Mall on Saturday. We did the pancreatic cancer walk, PanCan. Thanks, everybody, by the way. It's the first time I've been involved in this, so I set the bar kind of low. We raised $1,000, Carl, for Team Hey Man.
That's great.
But Becky and I walked. Thanks to a lot of our listeners who just threw in $30 or $50, whatever they could spare. It all added up, and we met a lot of great folks. Got to give a shout out to one of our listeners, who's Dan Ferry. Not Danny Ferry, the other Dan Ferry. Carl, who's a big listener, listens to the show all the time. But we ran into a lot of survivors, which is very inspirational because I know you're about pancreatic cancer. A lot of folks feel that's not good. Steve Shimada, one of our good friends. A lot of you guys that are younger and you came through the old days of Buckhead, Red Door, and all the other great restaurants. Steve's and his restaurant group, they raised $15,000 for pancreatic cancer.
Amazing.
So we had a good time. And a good run. Actually, it was a perfect distance for a hangover, 1.2 miles.
Good stuff, man.
Just, you know, because me, a 5K, I mean, I could do it, but I wouldn't feel good.
Yeah. No, look, they always say you don't have to run it. You can walk it however you finish it. So that's really cool, man.
But thanks to everybody who helped out.
Hey, man, coming up, he did his job, right? Now it's the other guy's job to do his work. We'll explain coming off of a big weekend of the NFL draft. Grant McCauley's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. And more on the biggest story in the draft that had nothing to do with our team. It's Dukes and Bell.